For where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And I want to preach to you on this topic today. Help is on the way. Look at your neighbor and say, help is on the way. Now, I don't know about you, and I'm not one to ask for help. Sometimes it's hard to tell whether it's pride that it is the main culprit or if I'm just too picky. I mean, is it just me, or is it just easier and simpler to do things yourself? Earlier this year, I decided to heat my daughter's cries and redecorate her bedroom, and unfortunately, that required moving some heavy pieces of furniture. And the only person around to move the furniture that day was to help me was Lambry. And I don't know if you've ever seen Lambry. I really needed an extra pair of hands and a strong back on that day. But when you're used to doing things by yourself, you kind of get inventive. So I pushed her desk chair up against the wall, and I scooted the furniture right up against the chair, using the wall as a stop. I lifted up the furniture until I could slide it over onto the chair seat. And since the computer chair has wheels, voila. And I let Lambry kind of guide the chair through the door. We got the furniture moved in a snap. And I think I told Lambry something like, this is why men don't live as long as women do. Come on now. How many of you out there would have done the same thing? How many of you today have probably done a whole lot worse? Hallelujah. You know you really need some help. But you grit your teeth and buckle down and you say, I can do this by myself. But we just reconditioned the fence on our church property. What a job that was. And I thought a couple guys could strip it down and reseal it, no problem. But boy, was I way off on that. By the time we stripped everything down and replaced all the warp boards and picked up new panels, put screws into all the panels, took the panels down and did the same thing on the opposite side, stripped and painted the posts, and then hung everything back up, it turned out to be way more than a one-man or a two-man show. We wound up having five guys working on the project at various times. I think it cost us nearly as much to refurbish the fence as it did for the original installation. Wow. Truth is, folks, there are just some times in life and in ministry when there is way more than any one person is going to be able to do alone. The truth is, there are times when we are going to desperately need someone to help us complete the tasks and achieve the goals that God is setting before us. There's just going to be some times where it's going to have to be all hands on deck if we expect to get done what God is calling the Jesus name Pentecostal Church to do in these last days. And I feel like at church, this is one of those times, and I was praying this week, and I just want to let you know today that God sees your hard work, and He sees your faithfulness, and He knows what you're doing, and He is in the process of sending the help and the helpers and the laborers needed to continue to complete the work that God is inspiring to you to do in His kingdom. And I just want to preach this message. I feel like the Lord laid on my heart today. Help is on the way. Somebody shout, help is on the way. Sometimes you got to speak it out. We were at the soup kitchen earlier, and one of our regulars came by, and he's been having problems with his health and different things. We're doing a Bible study with him, and he walked by, and he said, "You just made a casual comment." You know, it's the casual comments that get you. It's the casual comments that'll destroy you and tear your faith apart from the inside out. And it can also be those casual comments that can reflect on what faith is doing inside of you and what God is about to release in your life. And I heard him as he walked by, "Well, I'm getting ready to get back to where I was. I'm getting ready. Things are getting ready to turn around for me." And I felt a little tinge of faith stir up inside. I felt a little tinge of the Holy Ghost move over me. And I looked at him and I said, "That's right, brother, what you just said. You need to believe what you just spoke out, because that's what God is getting ready to do in your life." Somebody say, "Help is on the way." Hallelujah. Now, many of us have the same question that the psalmist asked in Psalm 121, verse 1. From where does my help come from? Should I look to the hills? Should I look into the valley? Should I look to my neighbor or my pastor or my family or friends? Should I look to the president, my doctor, my banker, or my counselor? Well, the truth is, yes, God does move. He uses many methods and sundry people and powers to help us in our time of need. Sometimes He uses the doctors. Sometimes He uses politicians and counselors. Sometimes the Bible teaches us He uses angels in the sky. Sometimes He uses complete strangers on the road. Sometimes He sends caring church members. Amen. Like Dorcas in the book of Acts, the Bible says that she made coats and provided meals and ministered to the sick. But even Dorcas, the Bible says, died of some unknown cause. Sometimes even the helper needs a helper. Amen. Yes, we're all supposed to be helping one another and caring for one another and loving one another and praying for one another. But no matter how many different ways God works, and no matter how many different people God uses, we must never lose sight of the fact that God is the one that is directing and controlling everything that is happening in your life. Psalm 33:16-20, the king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. And then the psalmist said, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." The psalmist said, "Where is my help going to come from?" And then he answered the question, and he put a word out there that every single one of us in this house need to grab a hold of today. We need to believe it, and we need to make it a core value and belief that drives everything we do. And he said, "My help comes from the Lord." Hallelujah. It said in Psalm 146, verse 5, "Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, and whose hope is in the Lord his God." There is a certain unsettledness, a sense of being cursed, that rests on those who have put their trust in man or in things. But to the one who has put their trust fully in God, there is a sense of peace and happiness that rests on them. Can't shake the nagging darkness. Is there something hiding in the shadows of your mind nagging at you? I want to ask you a question today. What have you inadvertently began to trust instead of putting your trust in God? We all want to know who, when, and how God is going to work things out. We try to sort it out in our minds, and we look all around us and figure out all of the angles. But the one thing God wants us to sort out to figure out today is this. How can I learn to trust God more? How can I learn to trust God more? Jesus, Jesus. How I trust Him. How I bring Him over and over and over. Jesus, Jesus. Precious Jesus. Oh, for grace. Trust Him more. If God has all this under control, then how do I proceed? How do I use God as my main source for decision making and progress? Well, the psalmist gives us a basis for trusting God and believing in His help and deliverance in our time of need, because it's what you believe that drives what you trust. It's what you believe that drives who you trust. And if you've got the wrong belief system, you're going to trust the wrong things, and they're going to fail you in your hour of need. The Bible said, hey, it's a terrible thing, amen, to trust in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble. It's like a broken foot or a bad tooth. If you put your trust in the wrong things, they will fail you in the middle when you need them the most. But if you got the right belief system and you understand the Word of God and who you are in Jesus, then when the trouble comes and when the storm blows and when the earth shakes, you will not be moved. Hallelujah. Now I want to get on my soapbox for a little bit. The psalmist reminds us this. Where's my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If there's ever been a time in the history of man where this core belief is under attack, then it is now. The earth is billions of years old. Humanity climbed out of a primordial cesspool. Dinosaurs are proof that there was life on earth before Adam and Eve, and humans are destroying the planet. The attack on clearly revealed truths in the Bible goes on and on and on. And some people say the creation account in Genesis was never meant to be taken literally. How convenient and how destructive to our health. If we cannot trust the beginning of the Bible and its account of how the worlds came into existence, then we cannot trust the apocalypse at the end of the Bible either. Let me tell you something, church. Humans are today are no more capable of destroying the planet that we live on than they were at creating it. Oh my God, I'm going to bring up a soapbox here in just a minute, but I'm not finished yet. It matters. I'll tell you why it matters. Because you either serve a God who doesn't really have much to do with the world He created, or you serve a God who is intimately connected to everything that is happening. You either serve a God who lets things work themselves out in a fatalistic fashion, or you serve a God who changes things with His breath, with a word, and with the twinkling of His eye. Well, Pastor, that is all metaphorical language. When a saint, how on God's green earth can you expect a finite mind and puny language skills of a human to describe the immeasurable, the infinite, the almighty, and His supernatural doing? Job said in chapter 26, verse 7, He stretches out the north over the void and hangs the earth on nothing. You got to know that the God you believe in made the heavens and the earth, and He hung the earth on nothing. You got to understand, when you're in a situation that there ain't nothing that you can turn to, no one you can hope for, that God will bring you help from nowhere. So that it should never be moved. I want to tell you about a God who made heaven and earth. You need to know the God that you serve, because when everything is shaking and shifting and changing, you need to understand that your God never changes. You need to know that 3, verse 6 through 9, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. I tell you how you're going to come through your trial. I tell you how your help's going to come. God is going to give you a word, and it is going to change you, and it's going to change everything about you, and it's going to change everything you think, how you feel, and what you do with your life. And as you begin to be changed by the word of God, you will begin to change the things around you. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The devil and the world and even your own mind will put questions like, how is God going to work it out? The psalmist tells us how God's going to work it out. He's going to create it. He's going to speak it into existence. The God that we serve brings things. Hallelujah. He brings things into existence from nothing. That is the God that you serve. And then the next thing the psalmist tells us is he will not let your foot be moved.
Praise God.
The foot in the Bible represents possession. It represents dominion and authority in the Bible. He will not let your foot be moved. He will not let your foot get shaky and weak. He will not let your steps slide. Psalm 91, 11, 12, and 13. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample under your feet. I want to tell you something today, church. Where's your help going to come from? God is going to put strength in your feet that you're walking on today, on your feet of faith. And I'll tell you how it's going to happen. You're going to trample it down under your feet.
Hallelujah.
Romans 16:20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, church. Help is on the way. God put something into your feet, your beautiful feet, that are bringing the good news of the gospel on the mountaintops. I'm going to tell you something. Those feet don't just bring good news to the poor and to the sinner, but they bring fear and strike terror, a terrifying fear in the heart of the devil and his kingdom. Because whenever you bring the good news, at the same time you bring the good news, you are trampling Satan's kingdom under your feet. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. With some troubling you right now, some giving you a hard way to go right now, I'm here to tell you help is on the way. God is going to put those things under your feet, and you are going to walk on them. You are going to own them and control them and overpower them, because God is your helper. Hallelujah. And the next thing the psalmist declares, it tells us about God's ever vigilant nature. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, I don't know about you, but well, I do know about you, because I sit up here and watch you preach to you, teach to you. Hallelujah. We get weary, find ourselves unable to stay awake any longer. We may sleep hard and find it difficult to get out of the bed in the morning. But God is not troubled with such human frailties. Our gatekeeper is not going to doze off even for a second and allow the enemy to take an advantage over us. Our protector cannot die because He is life itself. And even though the generations come and go, our God is still remaining sentinel and on duty. And our treasures and our investments and our labors for the kingdom will remain intact throughout the ages. What? You going through a difficult time? Let me tell you something. God is on duty. And He's going to send you help in short order. Don't fail and don't falter in the day of adversity. Isaiah 40:28. Have you not known and have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. We got to understand and know the truth about our God so that we can understand and know that His help is going to be efficacious. His help is going to meet every need and situation. We don't need anybody else. Anybody else comes to you with help, just remember, God sent them to you. Psalmist repeats this next phrase over and over 6 times in this psalm. He says, the Lord is your keeper.
Amen.
6 times, the Lord is your keeper. I want to tell you something today. God has got this. And He's reminding us over and over. We need to be reminded over and over. As soon as the first doubt jumps into your little pea brain, you need to remind yourself, God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. We remind each other, God's got this. But you don't understand. I tell you what, sometimes I think we could just use a smack in the mouth every time something idiotic like that comes out of our mouths. But you don't understand. Smack. We need one of them Batman and Robin meme cartoons. You don't understand. Smack! God created the heavens and the earth. But you don't understand. Smack! God doesn't get sleepy or tired like you do. But you don't understand. Smack! God's your keeper. Shut up. Regardless of who we think does or doesn't understand us and our situation, friend, God is in control, and that's what matters. It's nice if you can find somebody to calm your mind and soothe your fears, but the real cure to our anxieties and fears is to get our truth lined out appropriately and just to remember God is the one bringing the help. He is the help. You can't lose. You can't fail so long as God is your keeper. Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Psalm 17:8, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. You ever try to stick your finger in your eye? You can't stop your eyelid from, if you wear contacts, you got to hold your eyes open to get your contact in there. Why? Because it's one of the most sensitive places in the human body to protect the eye. God is keeping you like the apple of His eye. And He is ready in a trigger to stop anything that would come in to damage or to hurt. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When is the Lord going to send help? Let me ask you a question. What do you mean, when is the Lord going to send you help? When is God not helping you? Yeah, but you know what I mean. No, I do not know what you mean. God is on the job now, right now, and He's present. He is working. He is protecting. And He is prospering you right now. Is the day of salvation. When I'm up here preaching to you right now, God is helping you. God is sending you help. When He is in present help in time of trouble. God is helping you all day long. And he's there helping you from sunset to sunup.
Yes.
He said, the psalmist said, may the sun shall not strike you by day, and nor the moon by night.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When Israel wandered in the wilderness, the Bible said the presence of God followed them. No, it says the presence of God led them in the wilderness. Hallelujah. And there during the withering desert sun and heat, God was a cloud during the day. And a shield to them. Nothing like a cloud on a hot summer day. You get up on top of a roof and start throwing some shingles. It is 90 degrees outside, full sun. You're going to find out what hot really is. Get yourself some black colored shingles and try putting them thing. You run up there and run a row, and then you run back down and find a shade under a tree and drink 14 gallons of liquid, and then you climb back up there and run a row and get off of there as quick as you can. Goose pimples hackling up on you because your body is getting into a defensive mode against the heat. And God followed them around in a cloud. And that cloud comes over you on that roof. And next thing you know, why? Because just a little cloud makes such a big difference when you're under the withering sun and the heat. And the Bible says that at nighttime, during the crippling cold that gripped Israel's encampment in the desert, that God was a pillar of fire to warm them and to light their way. Hallelujah. They also say this. God protects you at night. The sun won't strike you during the day and the moon by night. And they say that there is a disease that has been, in the ancient times, was associated with the eyes. Some kind of a ophthalmic disease that people would get, and it could cause blindness. And some back in the day, they used to call it moon blindness.
Hallelujah. They always say that the full moon people go crazy. But there ain't no scientific evidence for that. But people just know it, don't they? And they have found some scientific evidence that the moon messes with your circadian rhythm. Sun will not strike you by day. You know what they named the moon? Lunar. That's Latin, and you know what that's what the root word is? Lunatic. Luna is the root word. That's why they named it that, because the moon was associated with people losing their minds. Let me tell you something, folks. Now, I know we're just kind of filled with that, and that's a little ancient history, and obviously we're not smarter today than what they used to be. But I wonder sometimes if we're any smarter than they ever were, because there's more lunatics running around our streets today, I think, than there ever has been before. We need to understand that when we're under the shadow and protection of Jesus Christ, whether it's day or whether it's night, our keeper is on duty. And he will protect us from the things that we can see. And he will protect you from the things that you cannot see. Psalm 91, 5 and 6, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the hour that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Our God has got you. He's got this, and he's sending help to you when you need it the most. And then he goes on as he did, as Paul does it. We talked about being more of the conqueror. He said that the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. There is nothing that you can go through that God hasn't already seen. There is nothing that God doesn't know how to deal with. Let me tell you something. When God is watching over you, you are untouchable. Satan complained before the throne of God. Oh, does Job serve you for naught? Seeing you had put a hedge up about him. That's the God you serve. If you put a hedge up about Job, Job didn't have the Holy Ghost. Job didn't have the law of Moses. Job didn't have none of that stuff. But there was a hedge up about him because he had the God, his trust, and he knew that God was his helper. Let me tell you, Holy Ghost filled, blood-bought saint of God, if you don't think there's a protective hedge about you, if you don't think the Lord's angels encamp round about you, you need to get on out of this church and find you some other place. God is your helper. He is your keeper. He will keep you. He will keep you. He will keep you. Hallelujah. The only way anybody can touch you is if God says it's okay. And if God says it's okay, you're going to make it through on the other side. Consider Job, that the Lord is pitiful and full of tender mercy. And God let his second path of his life be way better than the previous thought he had in good. Let me tell you something. You may go through the trials, but you keep God as your helper and God as your keeper. You're going to come out on the other side, and God's going to smack the devil in the face a few times, and you're going to be greater than you ever were before that trial. God is your helper, and he's got you. Hallelujah. Says in Psalm 97, I'm getting close to closing. Psalm 97, 10, all you who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. 2 Peter 2, 7, 8, 9, if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked. For as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then, everybody say then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment under the day of judgment. Philip said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the other half of that verse is, but the Lord delivers him out of every single last one. God's got you. No temptation has overtaken you that is common, that is not common to man. You ain't the only one that's been there. You ain't the only one that's done that. There's been many before you, and there'll probably be many after you. Hallelujah. But God, he's got taken care of. And as the Bible said, he is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Now, what he's actually doing with the temptation is he's increasing your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Have you there, saint of God? Help is on the way. Hallelujah. In closing, the psalmist tells us that God is not only going to protect you from what is bad and what is evil, but that the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Hallelujah. There is no aspect or place in our lives where God is not feel the Holy Ghost, church. Amen. For too long we put our trust in men and things. For too long we put our trust in what I like to look things up on Google. But when the rubber meets the road, I ain't going to be in Google prayer closet trying to find answers. I'm going to be back here in this back room speaking in tongues, laying on the floor and crying out to Jesus. At the end of the day, it is God that we appeal to, for he has control over everything.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And God is not there guarding and helping us both day just to stay safe, but he is also there putting his hand of blessing on you to prosper you. Even in the middle of your affliction, God will cause you to prosper spiritually at first, and then and emotionally and socially and relationally. Pride gets crushed down, and the power of God raises up inside of us. And then when we're through the trial and we pass the test, God will restore other things to our lives that we need. Deuteronomy 28 and 6, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean unto your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Let's stand together today. The Lord is your helper, church. What are you struggling with right now? What are you into over your head? What could you really, really use some help with? Are you struggling with health issues? Are you struggling with addictions and bad habits? God wants to help you today? Are you struggling financially? Is your heart feeling the pinch of stinginess? Are your relationships on the rocks? Do you feel like a failure? Are you battling with loneliness and grief? Do you feel rejected? Are you battling with sin, with doubt, with demons? God is already helping you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Open your heart, your mind, and your spirit and accept the help that God is trying to bring to you. Jesus stood over Jerusalem as He prepared to triumphantly enter in. The Messiah arriving exactly when the prophet Daniel prophesied He would. To the year, to the day, walking into the temple. When He came in as a baby to be circumcised, there were even people waiting for Him. And He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you under my wings? As a hen would gather her chicks under her wings for protection and safety from the elements. But Jesus said, you wouldn't let me help you. How many of us can admit today that we could use a little or a lot of help from God right now?
Amen.
How many of us could admit today that we're doing the best that we know how to do, but it just doesn't seem to quite be enough?
Amen.
How many of you would admit today that it seems like no matter how hard we try, there's just no way that we're going to be able to do this on our own? Why don't we find a place to pray, find somebody to pray with, find a partner to pray with, and let's tell God today that we can really use His help right now.
Yes.